You're listening to Frontline by SpeakUp, a podcast dedicated to helping you create a thriving workplace where everyone feels connected.
This is episode number 4 on the importance of empathy in the workplace. I'm your co-host, Lou Blair.
And I'm your guest co-host, Anya. Our guest today is Yves Groen, co-founder of the Ludens Foundation, dedicated to helping people and organizations develop, restore, and maintain a deeper connection with the people around them.
Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining us on the podcast again. And thank you, Anya, for joining me today while Matt is off in the UK.
No problem.
So, Anya, you've been with SpeakUp for, is it 6 weeks now?
About.
Mm-hmm. And how are you enjoying it?
So far, so good. There's a lot of work to get done, but I appreciate every day, and especially working with my colleagues has been a lot of fun. There is so much to dig into in the US, but I guess that's what makes it exciting.
And Anya, you live here in Amsterdam with us, but can you tell me where you're originally from?
Oh, that's a complicated question. Let's say I moved to Amsterdam most recently from the West Coast of the United States. That was Portland, Oregon. But I actually had an episode with Amsterdam before. That was 14 years ago when I was doing my master's here. And before that, after that, I was also living in Dublin. And before that, I was in Warsaw, Poland. So, international, to say the least.
Well, I'd have to say you're perfect for SpeakUp because you're American, but you have European roots.
So there we go.
Fit in very well here at SpeakUp.
Thank you.
So, Anya, can you tell me a little more about today's guest?
I can. Yves is from Ludens Foundation, which is a nonprofit foundation that helps people develop a mutual understanding with others, whether they are coworkers or various relationships that they have in their life, through a practical form of empathy. I think that everyone who listens to today's show will have something to take away from this. So thank you for joining us on the show to share your knowledge with us today.
My pleasure.
So, Yves, before we get started, we like to start our podcast with a fun and easy question that helps us to get to know our guests. So, can you please let us know the first app you open when you wake up in the morning and the last app you look at before you go to bed?
The first app I looked at this morning was WhatsApp. See if I got any messages from my friends, family, girlfriend, send something back. And the last app last night was audio book app, listening to a book by Mark Nepo.
What sort of book is it?
It's called The One Life We're Given. And, well, it's about the one life we're given, or at least this life we are given. And he's an American poet and shares stories about, let's say, the everyday moments where you know, when you surf, sometimes, I don't actually surf, but let's say, I was just listening to that part. When you surf, you know, sometimes you're on the wave, sometimes you get crashed by a wave. And what do you do to recover? Sometimes you're just paddling around, looking for a wave, waiting for a wave. So about life in a more, what to do when life hits you or when you're riding the wave.
Sounds lovely. We'll be sure to include that in the show notes.
Okay. I'm enjoying it. That's I'm lousy at explaining it, but I'm really enjoying it.
Just highly recommended by Yves. So can you tell us a little more about Ludens? What does Ludens actually mean, and how did you find yourself working for the organization?
Ludens means play in Latin, or it's derived from the Latin word for play. And I guess I'm co-founder of the organization together with two other people. Now the team is growing. And I guess I say usually the people who teach it, like I do a bunch of teaching during the week. We call it first aid for conversations. And I say the people who teach it usually need it the most. So I discovered about 4, 5, 6 years ago that I could use some help in the conversational area of my life. I had a sense that I was in leadership positions twice in my life, or three times actually, in an organization. And the last time, especially, I had a sense that I didn't get all the information, or I didn't process the information that was valuable to grow myself. Like I was having a sense like something is going on that I can't pinpoint, which has probably to do a lot with me. So then I started this research. Actually, it started all with an app, how to get feedback from your colleagues and friends anonymously, and then we would filter that and give you three trends to work with. But then I continued my research and I discovered like this question in myself, why do we need to give each other feedback anonymously? And then I went down this rabbit hole, and that is actually, I'm still down that rabbit hole and still learning, and I call it research, but it's also me search. And I'm discovering now daily insights about what keeps us from being honest. Or to go back to that Mark Nepo, another book I read by him is, I think it's called Holding Nothing Back. So what is keeping us from showing up fully? So that's in a nutshell. I'm leaving all the tears and the laughter and the joy out of it. But that's in a nutshell how I became to co-founded this organization. Because now we have discovered some things that actually over and over seem to be pretty effective in helping people to show up fully, and for the other person to also hear them fully. So they can, you know, let's say if you've got a situation with a colleague or your neighbor, that you can actually use these processes to restore the trust and hear each other, understand each other, and build a deeper relationship that's, I guess, more fun and play in the end. So that's where the name is, Ludens means play. So we always want to get back to that point where it's play again. And sometimes we got to hang in that uncomfortable moment to get to the other side where it's play again.
So if I understand you correctly, essentially why you started Ludens Foundation was because you had a deep need for connecting with other people, but also you discovered that you wanted to be better, get better in conversing with other people. And then you realize that perhaps it sometimes gets uncomfortable and there should be a moment where it's just everybody feels safe and ready to share their feedback with each other. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah, I guess so. And that I think there's a lot of safety that you can create in yourself, mm-hmm. and increase your capacity to, I sometimes call it that we practice, I practice and I teach this as well, is how to be comfortable with the uncomfortable moments. Mm-hmm. So for instance, I used to joke a lot. Like each time, almost every time I was uncomfortable, I would like joke, or sarcasm was one of my go-to places. To create some sense of ease in myself. I now know. I didn't know that back then. And I think there's more helpful ways to find that ease and peace in yourself and to actually look at so why are we uncomfortable and trying to laugh something away? Like almost every time a client is laughing when I say something or they say something like that, that's actually painful for them, but they kind of laugh as a way to relieve some of the tension. And then, okay, let's just hang out there with the laughter. People say, you know what's funny? But when they say that, usually they don't mean funny. They mean painful. You know what's painful? Or I'm desperate. That's what I usually get when I ask, you know, two, three more questions through that empathic guessing that we practice and teach.
Mm-hmm. And this is interesting because the focus of today's episode is empathy in the workplace. And so you mentioned in a few places that this is being empathetic and sort of empathizing with other person, or sometimes realizing what is that we're coming into with is sometimes uncomfortable. And so is this what you do at Ludens? Do you help people realize that this lack of comfort and sort of pinpoint what is that they're actually trying to say instead of covering it up with laughter, like you said?
Yeah, I'd say so. Because in the uncomfortable, like whenever you learn something, whenever you grow, it's a little bit uncomfortable. I would love it to not be uncomfortable. Yeah, I would love that. But it just seems to be the way life is helping us to grow. So each time I heard someone say, as a measurement of success, it's the amount of uncomfortable conversations you're willing to have.
Interesting.
I find that very inspiring.
So in your work and in your everyday work, do you know what kind of help do you provide to people who come to you and say, "Yeah, I'd like to challenge that. I'd like to become more comfortable with all the uncomfortable."
Yeah. So whether it's one-on-one situations or teaching, the vast majority of time we spend being there empathically with someone. So the person that comes to us gets the empathy they need. So the way I kind of look at it, I'm still learning and growing and getting more clarity. Now, I love that about this, the thing that I do. The way that I see it now is, let's say you have a situation with a colleague. Then what seems to happen is that you have this image of the other person or the image of yourself. And so you're not really communicating. You're kind of predicting what's going to happen instead of being in the moment where you really see eye to eye or heart to heart with the other person. So you have this image about like he's a jerk or she's whatever, or I'm no good, or he'll probably say that again. Something like that. So then you start holding back. So what we do is we help. We see those images, we get them out, and we ask, like, okay, what is that image of he's a jerk trying to tell us? And so we transform that by saying, so let's say someone says, my colleague is a jerk or is autistic or narcissistic, right? Those are images of people where it's very difficult to get the real contact with the other person. So you're feeling, and usually there's some fear around it. So you actually like are a bit afraid when you're around that person. Yeah, because I don't know how he's going to respond. Okay. And so so you really want to have some predictability or something, how someone's going to respond. Yeah. Well, predictability is maybe another word for safety. Yeah. So maybe you're not like completely safe around that person. Yeah. And then their eyes start to open and look, and they start to look inside and they see, oh, maybe that's why he's responding in that way, because I'm walking around all tensed up all the time. So what often happens is when they have this realization, they come back a week later for maybe a second conversation and they say, I don't know what happened. He's a completely different person.
So what I hear you say is your clients typically come and they have some tension going on at work and they seek your help with figuring out what is actually happening or how they can better themselves and having more meaningful conversations or conversations that bring results. And do you get a lot of sort of corporate clients who come with work issues? And if so, what kind of issues then you try to help them solve? I mean, you gave a great example of, oh, she's this or he's that. And then just realizing that it comes actually as a reaction to how we come into the room. Mm-hmm. So are there any other examples that you have of people seeking your help where at workplace they're running against something and they just need to figure this out with you?
Yeah, in general, I would say another big thing that people come to me for or that they practice in classes that we teach is when there is a structural power difference. So when there is... And I'm in the role of a teacher or I'm in the role of a co-founder in our organization. So with that role, all kinds of things start to happen. So I guess a big thing that I run into with people, personally as well, but I like to be mindful of it. Sometimes it works. But the clients that come to me is having a sense of equality with the person that, let's say a manager or a CEO, someone in a position of structural power, more structural power than they have, to have a sense of equality in themselves. Because they kind of consciously or unconsciously, they think, oh, he's higher up or she's higher up, so I got to fight for my right, or he will never listen to me. Whereas those seem to be more, then again, you are maybe not fully in touch with what's actually happening.
You're projecting, you're assuming somebody is going to behave a certain way because they have a certain job title.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And whereas if I talk from my own experience of being in those leadership roles 2-3 times before, I felt very lonely. So it's especially, and I didn't know exactly why, but I think one of the parts is that I saw the other person as a human being, well, as much as I could, as I had capacity for. But maybe on the other side, they didn't feel safe enough to express what was going on, or I was not able to hear it. And my, I want to take myself some self-responsibility here. The things that I did probably didn't help to satisfy their need for emotional safety and that they're at ease to share what's really going on. So this, I guess it goes, it's a little bit of a dialogue going on there, an unhelpful dialogue when it comes to getting all kinds of needs met. And trust that my needs matter as much as your needs.
It's interesting that you mentioned this because before our conversation, I was reading this research and it showed that especially employees seek empathy in their employers. And if that need is met, then they actually perform beautifully, as in reach their goals, sometimes overperform, and you know they become really successful. It's an interesting tie between something so soft, you know, emotions and empathy, and really putting yourselves in the shoes of the other person, and then the end results that are tied to, you know, dollar, euro, you know, money value. How do you make that connection? How do you help people realize that they actually need to become empathetic and as a result, you know, they'll become successful?
Well, I stopped trying to change people. So I get a bit uncomfortable with that question. And I'm more than willing to share something that comes up for me, which is the word empathy means different things to different people. And the way I see it is empathy is a felt sense and a need within every human being to be heard and understood and fully be seen. And the way that we practice it, it's getting to the core of what's really happening. Because saying like standing in someone else's shoes, that's we make it more tangible. We say for us empathy, it's maybe 10 things, but at the core of it is being accepting and connected to your own feelings and needs and those of the other. Then I think what happens is you build a certain sense of bond and trust where you understand each other more quickly because you are in touch, in sync, like a band playing. So whether it's a band playing that's in sync or a team at a workplace, that doesn't seem to be, it's just a different instrument they're using. And the Google research that came out last year, I think, showed that as well, that the distinguishing factor between teams and very effective teams within Google, the number one factor was emotional safety. So there it kind of shows. So if people need some research to, because they like that, they can read that paper. And I guess that says it all.
So before we wrap up this part of the podcast, would you please give us an example of how the next steps? What do we do in a situation where we realize we just got this, received this email, we feel a certain way? What's next?
Well, then I come back to, actually, again, Mark Nepo. In another book I read by him, he says something about comparing notes. So any conversation you could see as comparing notes. You have a perspective, I have a perspective. Well, let's compare notes. It sounds way more relaxing to me than let's have a fight. So one way you could do that is with that intention, given that you've received enough empathy, knowing that the other person is not usually that happy with how they responded and needs some empathy as well. So one thing I practiced a conversation yesterday. So where did we land yesterday? It was having a face-to-face conversation instead of email. I think that would work usually better for the connection. And then saying something like, hey, I was looking back at that email and I discovered something in myself. And I'm wondering how it was for you to get that email and how to send that email. Are you open to having a conversation about that? Which gives the other person a choice whether they want to get back to it. And it's more of a togetherness, like, hey, your needs matter, my needs matter. And so that's one way to start rebuilding that trust. Is it helpful?
Yes, it sounds like you just state what's happening with you. You're curious, where did it come from? And then you end with a question as a proposal of, let's discuss this, let's go through this together.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a quick break.
This podcast is brought to you by SpeakUp, the communications and engagement platform that employees love to use.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We created the Frontline by SpeakUp podcast as a space to hear and learn from leaders and experts on how they create a thriving workplace. And by working with over 300 clients, we know that there's no one-size-fits-all solution. So we like to ask our guests five quick questions we like to call the Thrive Five to give our listeners advice on how to foster motivation and inspiration within the workplace. So first question to you, what is one thing that you feel should be mandatory within every company? It can be a policy, it can be a resource, just one thing that you think would help everyone in every company.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. We see demands and things that are mandatory as the source of very much a lot of sorrow. So that's about the word mandatory. But what I would encourage in an organization is, well, the first thing that pops to mind is some kind of option for mindfulness practice and to really stimulate that in the organization, to have places and space and time to create space and time in the during the day to have some kind of mindfulness practice, whatever it is.
Second question, if there was one piece of advice you'd give yourself at the start of your career, what would it be?
Cry more.
It's very therapeutic, isn't it, to cry?
Yeah.
Just let it all go. Okay, third question. What do you feel is the most obvious sign that employers should look out for that might indicate that their workplace culture needs a bit of a shake-up?
Well, maybe that they're feeling lonely or not having fun themselves.
So look at themselves, look within.
It's usually what I do. I just point at people's heart and belly, so their feelings and their needs. And there usually people find answers, better ones than I give.
I like that.
Fourth question. What are the books or resources that you would recommend to anyone interested in business culture?
I think that book, The Empathy Factor at Work, popped up by Marie Mearshiru. I could say a lot about it, but it's all in the book.
Okay, we'll link to that in the show notes as well. A lot of resources coming out of this podcast. Okay, final question. What is one small change that all employers can easily make starting today that could help their workplace to thrive?
Build a culture of gratitude. And then one thing could be ask people if they want to end their day by going to another colleague to say, to tell them something they're grateful for that the other person has done.
Well, I'm grateful that Anya came on the show today to help me out while Matt was away. And we're very grateful for you, Eve, for joining us on the podcast.
And thank you. I'm grateful to our listeners who joined us today. If you liked our podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. And if you have any comments or suggestions, questions, you can reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. And you can also contact us via email at podcast@speakup.com.
Are you feeling inspired to make meaningful contact with your employees? SpeakUp is the branded communications platform that delivers 30% more sharing between colleagues. Head to speakup.com to find out how you can reduce the noise and increase the buzz by engaging with your workforce in a smarter way. Thanks once again, Eve, for joining us on the show.